Yeah. It should be getting warmer in here.
Fix it?
We didn't fix it, but we got it going for now, right? That will probably cook me out before it's done. Yeah. Morning. It's been a little chaotic this morning on multiple fronts. Say it. I'm not on. Yeah. Am I on now? Okay. So, good morning. It's chaotic a little bit this morning, I was saying. Ellie got in a wreck on the way here, or on the way to church, and Ethan got in a wreck, and so then we get here, the furnace is out, just seems like things are, but we move forward, right? I really struggled putting this together. This was like a fight. I don't know why, but I'm not going to dwell on that a lot here. But I was standing in the back, and I looked at this flyer from the bishop. It says, God is doing a new thing. Is he? Is God doing a new thing? Is there new things? I mean, I'm standing back here. I don't have a sermon based around this. Is God doing a new thing? I believe God is doing a new thing, but it's not new to him. I believe that we are entering into a time that is going to be like no other time that's ever been on the face of the earth. And that his supernatural power is going to manifest in a way that has never been manifested before. And part of the pursuit of me studying the kingdom of God is trying to understand, where's his power at? Like, I'm trying to understand, how do I experience this power, this kingdom power? What's going on? How do I get where we need to get for this to work? And I'll be honest with you, I have actual stuff happen in my life that is miraculous. Like, where normal circumstances are going along, I incorporate God into it. So I do live in some kingdom. I encounter God. I have God encounter me. There are kingdom principles working in my life. So I would not sit up here and say that I am in a complete drought, because I'm not. But I'm wanting more. I think that there is more. I think that there are macro and micro kingdom issues. And what I mean by that, I love to use the word macro and the word micro. The micro is the little things that make up the big thing. There's a big kingdom of God, and it has a big initiative and a thing where it's going and what it's going out to accomplish. And it is the wills and desires of God who are using his kingdom on a macro level through the micros of you and I within it. The power is a combination of us bringing all of our micro together to create the macro. Does that make sense? That God has this macro kingdom plan, but the macro kingdom plan starts with the micro plan in your life. And the individual little things that don't seem to have big kingdom impact, they have impact. Mindy started this morning with, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Are they? Are they? Is death and life in the power of a tongue? Does what you say matter that much? Does what comes out of our mouth matter? Well, I can tell you that if it does, and we believe that, we will change the way we talk. And if the Lord is, if there's a message this morning, it is this. And I'm going to get into some scripture about it. What we say matters. How we talk matters. What just comes out of our mouth matters. I'm as guilty gets on cursing the earth, or cursing in period, or just not, or talking negative, or letting the world know what I think about all the negative. Okay? The kingdom of God has initiatives to move forward. Okay? And it has things that need to come in line with it for it to happen. Do you realize that God just, why he doesn't, I don't know. I mean, I think I do. I think there's legal rights. Why doesn't God just do what God's going to do? it seems like he's subject to us and our cooperation for him to get done what he needs to get done. That sounds crazy. You're like, oh man, God can do whatever he wants. But he gave us dominion over earth. And then we're like this ambassador of him. We don't own the earth, but we are here with authority. He gave us authority to operate on this earth. But if we won't cooperate with him and we won't come in line with what he's doing, then we leave a stalemate. It leaves us in a spot where we can't function. So I believe God is doing a new thing, and I believe that there are things that we're going to have to do new to come in line with it. So what you say matters. A lot of you have heard this story, but it's worth telling. 35 years ago, I had a calf, and my mom was telling me that my words matter. And I was thinking, okay, that's great. She said, your words matter, what you say matters. So I had played Super Mario Brothers 2, and in the end, I think you played this big frog, and his name is Wart, and you beat him for the thing. So I named this calf, I'm about to combust up here. I named this calf Wart, okay? Within 2 or 3 weeks, this calf was completely covered in warts. He had one as big as a golf ball in his ear. And I remember, I could see this calf. Had them all over his neck, all over his body, and you can't take them to the fair if they have warts. And so I'm thinking, there's no way. I named this calf Wart. 3 weeks later, this thing is covered in warts, and mom's in the background, told you, you know, I told you. So I changed this calf's name, and we have the vet come out. He cuts the big wart out of the calf's ear, and by the time fair came, there was no warts on the animal, and we went to the fair. So I say that all to say, the words do matter. Like, they matter. So I'm going to give some scripture here, and I'm going to speed it up, hopefully. We'll get us out of here. We're going to talk about some things. So we're going to turn, when I find my notes. Bear with me. I am very scatterbrained this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Familiar story. And Jesus, verse 13, man. In verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and others one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Think about that for a second. You're here on earth, and you're walking around with Jesus in the flesh, and he asks you, he walks up to you and says, who do you say that I am? And Simon says, you're the Christ. We know that he goes on to say that. But some people say you're a prophet. How easy of an answer do you think that would have been to look at him and go, you're the Christ? How hard is it to believe that the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, the owner of all things, is standing in front of you in the flesh? And I've said this before, he probably smelled. He goes to the bathroom. He eats a hamburger with you. He's just like you and me. And he says, who am I? Who do you say that I am? Okay? Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed, Simon, because you didn't figure that out on your own. God told you that. God told you something. God told you who I was. The only way that you could possibly know that is if God himself revealed that to you. He says that to him. Okay? And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon God telling Peter who Jesus was is what he's going to build his church upon. Is that not what the church is built upon? About who who God is telling the world who Jesus is? And it has power. And the gate, it's more powerful than the gates of hell. There's nothing more powerful than the gospel. You know why? Because it supersends life and death. It supersedes. When you accept Christ, whether you live, die, or sick or healthy, or poor or rich, it doesn't matter. When you accept Christ, you are eternally secure. Like, that has power that is much, much greater than anything else that you'll ever come encounter with. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It has power in it. The fact that Jesus is the Son of God has power. The fact that God reveals that to you is you hearing God, and that power manifests in your life. Okay? And he goes on to say, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is a ginormous, ginormous statement. What we say matters. Okay? Think about this for a second. How would you loose or bind something in the spirit realm? How would you do it? What tools do you have in your toolbox to bind and loose things in the spiritual realm? What is the action needed to do such thing? Speaking. You only have speaking. You only have words. Okay? So Jesus says to the disciples, I am giving you the keys to the kingdom of God. Now, let's think about keys for a second. Listen to it like this. I'm going to give you some keys, and you can lock or unlock things. If you unlock some things on earth, they'll be unlocked in heaven. And if you lock some things, they'll be locked in heaven and earth also. So he's saying to these guys, there are keys to this kingdom that I have. They're keys, and I'm giving them to you. And they're for locking and unlocking. There are things in this creation that need locked. And there are things in this creation that need unlocked. And God's not unlocking and locking them. We are. Are we, though? I'm not. I can tell you that when I read this, I'm sitting here going, am I actively locking and unlocking things? Some. Huh? Say. Go. Yes, the thing is that we are locking and unlocking things. Because we're locking and unlocking things with our words. Okay? So keys represent power and authority. If I give you keys to my house, you have reign to go to my house. If I gave you my keys, I trust you. Say, hey, go to my house. Here's my keys. Go in. Unlock the door. Go in and partake. Here's the keys to my car. Take my car. Go drive it. Keys have access. Access into something that we don't have access into. And so it was like jumping off the paper. I'm trying to figure out what the message is about these keys, but I can't get away from this. Things are bound in earth and bound in heaven, bound and loosed in earth, loosed in heaven. And the Lord is on me saying, it's your mouth. Like, you have to hear me. You have to come hear me so that I can tell you what I need you to loose in the earth, because you're the one I put on the earth. You're the one that has authority there. We are the ones that actively have the authority on the earth directed by God. I'm not saying this is not a name it, claim it message where I'm telling you that you can just go say whatever you want willy-nilly and think that it's going to happen because you're loosening and binding stuff. You got to go to the throne of God and get what he has. I'm telling you, he wants to do a new thing in the earth. But it's not new to him. He's saying, I need you to cooperate with me. I need things spoken into the earth. I need things bound in the earth. I need things loosed in the earth. We're going to do that with our words. We have to go to God to find out what it is that he wants to say. And so there are lots and lots and lots of scriptures to back this up. But I question this. I myself walk around going, how can I just say things and they come to pass? They don't until the Lord's power is put behind it because he has kingdom initiatives. What is the kingdom's purpose? What is the purpose of the kingdom? The kingdom's purpose is that we live in a natural realm that has laws, rules, and principles. And when we are tapped out, the kingdom goes beyond those. There needs to be supernatural things happen. There's natural things, there's supernatural things. When this creation limits us to only the natural, the kingdom takes over so that we're not completely hopeless and controlled by what we see, taste, smell, hear. The kingdom of God is for access into the supernatural to change the narrative of what's going on here on the earth. The kingdom is for the changing of the narrative of what's going on the earth. Does you like what's going on the earth? We're responsible to get with God to find out what he wants to do about what's going on the earth. And as earth gets more evil, he wants to pour out more glory. And everywhere you see the kingdom of God, you see the miraculous. Things that are impossible to happen. And it matters what we say. Okay? So, keys mean a couple things. They mean something needs locked or unlocked. It means that you have access to things that you didn't have before because you have a key to get into it. It also means you have authority. You take ownership. You own something. You have a place of authority when you have keys. I have a guy that works for me. His name is Dan Anderson. He is in control of the tools, our tool. We have specialty tools at our office. He's got the key. Like, you don't get in that room unless you go through Dan. Who owns them tools? Does Dan Anderson own them tools? I own them tools. I give him the authority to have that key. I don't go get in that room without going to talk to him and ask him for his key. I gave him the key. I'm the boss. I own the tools, but I put Dan in charge and gave him the key to control it. So if I need one of them tools, guess what? Hey, Dan, I need the cut saw. I need the key. I need to get into the room to get my tools that I own. But he has authority with those keys. If I'm not around, he's as good as me standing there guarding those tools with that key. You see it? You see what? See what's happening? Okay, an example of this. So just a couple things, real quick. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9. After this manner, therefore, he prayed, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. This is the Lord's Prayer, right? You've heard me say this before. It is God's desire, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. This is what the keys of the kingdom are for, to make what's in heaven like on earth. God's saying, listen, the way I got it built up here, I want it to operate down there. But you're going to have to cooperate, and you're going to have to use the keys, and you're going to have to unlock things, and you're going to have to loose things, and you're going to have to bind things, and you're going to have to speak what I want you to speak. Okay, so am I just pulling this out of nowhere? No, go to Romans. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. verse 13, for the promise that he should be an heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And this is talking about the promise of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. Okay? It was not through, he did not get it through the through operating the law, but he got it through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law are heirs in faith, is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because if the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth things that are not as though they were. I want to camp right there for a second. God who quickeneth the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Okay? Wherever the miraculous is, you will find keys. If you go to the miraculous story in the Bible and you look at it, you'll see that we had a natural situation here. We have a man and a woman who cannot have a baby. Can't. So something supernatural has to happen. Something has to come in from the outside and cause power to happen where power can't. It's impossible. It's impossible for a 100-year-old man and woman to have a baby, not to mention a barren woman who can't have a baby, who hasn't been able to have a baby her whole life. Something has to give. Something from the outside has to come in and deal with that situation. God calls things that were not as though they were. Is he a liar? Is he lying? So, are we supposed to call things that are not as though they were? Okay, this gets really, really complicated because it's really, really hard to do. When the Lord says something to you about something that don't look like it is what he says it is. But the way to bring that to pass is to loose it with your mouth. Okay, I'm going to explain here. The blueprint is laid out right here in Abraham and Sarah. So God calls things that are not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. Abraham against hope, he believed in hope. Okay? That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of his Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he that promised was able to perform it. In order to inherit the kingdom of God, there are times where we're going to have to look at what is right in front of us and not consider it. Abraham considered not the deadness of his body. He only focused on the promise given to him by God. And against hope, he hoped. When there was no hope, he hoped. And when it didn't look like it, he still did it. Now, here's how God helped them do it. So do you know how many years it was from the time Abraham was promised a promise till Isaac was born? 25 years. That's a long time. Like, I'm not interested in 25-year promises. Like, if I'm talking to God and I'm like, hey, if you got something for me in 25 years, let's just wait till 24 years and 6 months. And you can tell me about it. Otherwise, just keep it yourself. Like, why are you telling me this 25 years in advance? Do I really want to live for 25 years knowing, not knowing for 25 years? Do you know what happened in the last 3 months before Sarah became pregnant? God changed their names. God changed their names. Within 1 year of God changing their names from Abraham and Sarah, it was Abram and Sarai. And Abraham means father of multitude, and Sarah means mother of multitude. Okay? Now back in those times, when you were called something, people looked at, it would have been embarrassing to not have any kids and be called the father of multitudes or the mother of multitudes when you can't have kids. Like, it would have been embarrassing because they had a decision to make. When that name was given to them, did Abraham call Sarai Sarah?
after being calling her for 100 years, Sarai? Did he call her Sarah? Did she call him Abraham? Or did she keep calling him Abram? There was a decision to make in that moment. Are we going to agree with what God, who's calling things that are not as though they were, are we going to agree with him? Are we going to follow suit? And are we going to emulate? Are we going to talk like our Father? Are we going to say what he says? I'm assuming they did. Because within 3 months, she was pregnant. And within 9 months later, 1 year later, they had Isaac. 25 years till the name change. From the name change, 1 year till Isaac was born. Amazing. Amazing. John the Baptist's dad, what was his name? What was John the Baptist's dad's name? Zacharias. He's a high priest. He goes in, angel of the Lord comes, meets him, tells him that his wife's going to have a baby. He says, I don't believe you. What happens to him? Gets shut his mouth. Why? Because what he says, what you say matters. Because I'm not going to let you spew unbelief for the next 9 months about something that is very, very important to the salvation of all mankind. You see, this isn't just Isaac. This is the promise of why we're all sitting here. It's important. It was kingdom business. It was a micro thing in a macro initiative, a huge macro initiative. The promise of Christ coming to earth had to do with this. Like, if they didn't believe it, if they didn't come in line with it, if they didn't say it, they didn't believe it, they didn't not consider their bodies, we're not here. Like, the seed don't get here. Like, the micro makes up the macro. And there are big initiatives like that happening right now. There is a big move of God. There's a final push. There's a calling. There's a huge growth in the kingdom coming. And it is going to be on us to be in tune with God when he's changing names and what he's got to say about it. And then when we hear those things, we're going to have to speak them. This is the king versus the priest thing that I've been talking about in the kingdom of God. One of the keys to the kingdom of God and unlocking it is what we say. And I don't like it. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like it. Because I want to look at things that are nasty and tell you how nasty they are. Why is there such a drive to tell somebody when something hurts? Why do you want to tell somebody, my arm hurts? I don't feel good. This sucks. I am having a bad way about it. It is so easy to run around and tell about lack. It's in our nature to want to speak lack. I'm telling you, there is no lack in the kingdom. The kingdom is here because of lack. When you lack here, you get to say, but I live in the kingdom. I see what's going on in the economy, but I live in a kingdom. I see our president, but I have a king. I see things, but the kingdom has things. We need to bless. And so there's this teaching out that many, I don't know where we even got it. Somebody gave it to us, and this guy, he got some revelation about just blessing everything. And he has so many stories how he shared with other people, and then they started blessing things, and then when they started blessing things, the creation started literally responding to him. People, relationships, things, and all kinds of stuff. When he wanted to say something bad about something, he blessed it. He would bless that situation. He would say, Lord, pour your blessing into that thing. It sounds crazy, but it started unlocking things because it's keys. Today, I have one message. What you say matters. God needs your words. He needs what we're saying. He needs us to bind things. He needs us to loose things. One of the keys is our words. And I don't like it, but I'm going to work on it because I want to unlock the things of the kingdom. Stand up, please. In Acts chapter 2, you know the Joel, the where it says, sorry, hold on. Uh, a very, very familiar verse, and it's coming up a lot as soon as I find it. It is about Joel, and it says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon man. And they will what? Prophesy. And now, brethren, I would that thou be ignorant. That's the wrong chapter. Hold on a second. I want to read this to you. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Prophecy is real simple. It is saying what God says. I mean, at its core, a prophecy is saying, repeating what God is saying. That is prophetic, because his words are creative. He has things that he wants us to say. He wants us to prophesy. And in the end times, that's how it's going to change, is we're going to rise up and we're going to say what he says about things, and they're going to come to pass. And that's how we're going to start unlocking the supernatural things of the kingdom of God. All right? Dear Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for your kingdom and your keys. Lord, teach us your keys. Show us how to use them. Show us where to lock and unlock. Lord, give us the words that you want spoken to the earth. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.